Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
No time to die? Plenty of time to listen to I Read It Online Somewhere.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 8 of I Read It Online Somewhere. We are here every couple of weeks to discuss what we have read online and answer your strange and wonderful base science questions. And this week, it's all about conspiracies. I'm Amy, and I fail science at school, but luckily for me, I'm joined by two science teachers, Andrew.
Hello.
And Ross.
Hello.
Each week, we look at a science story we have read online and try to answer your questions. If you do want to get in touch with us with your questions, please email us at ireaditos@gmail.com or at ireaditos on all social media. So we've picked today to record because it's International Podcasting Day, which no one knew about until I texted you.
What?
But yeah, anyway, happy International Podcast Day. I just saw it on Twitter. It was just trending on our...
Who knew that was a day?
Ross, there's days for everything. This is a normal day. There's literally days for everything, so...
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So yeah, it's nice that we're celebrating, because we've been off for a few weeks. We've all been quite busy. We had COVID in our household. Andrew's just been at fun weddings.
It's true. I have. Sorry. Yes. Yes. I actually posted on our Instagram with our biggest fan, Barra. So, that was nice to meet him.
Hi, Barra.
I will admit, like, you know, when you meet people, you know, who like listen to podcasts, it's like family or you know, like actually quite close friends, and they're like, oh yeah, listen to your podcast. Like, that's really exciting. But when it's someone who genuinely, I that was the first time I was meeting him, and he was really excited to say hi. Like, it was kind of like a buzz. Like, it was, I assume this is what, like, real celebrities feel like.
Have you applied for a blue tick on Instagram?
Well, no, not yet, but maybe I should, you know. Like, it was really cool. So, hopefully we'll get more people talking to us.
That's how I feel when a kid sees me outside of school. I feel like a bit of a celebrity. They're always pointing, taking pictures.
Laughing.
Yeah. You have to wave back at them, so you try and embarrass them, so they stop doing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, yeah, that is true.
And Andrew is very flustered, as you can tell, because he currently has no internet and he's acting as if.
Sorry,
he's gone back to like 1992.
Sorry, yeah, no. So there's no internet in the house, which is kind of annoying. And then my phone keeps buzzing, and I'm like, oh no, is the internet dropping out? But it's like messages coming in, and I'm
all right.
I'm like, oh, I need to ignore them.
Very popular.
Yeah. Nah, it's Lindsay. I love you, Mrs. Lee, but not now. So, yeah.
So yeah. We are back, ready to rumble. So, we've got our what we read online this week.
Andrew, do you want to talk us through it?
Because I've not read it.
Yeah.
Because
so,
Ross has just been busy golfing.
This week, I know, gallivanting. This week, our story comes from the Bible, sort of, kind of.
Ooh,
not really.
I'm excited.
But one of the things I get asked quite a lot Certainly, in like as a science teacher, Ross, you probably get the same thing. Is like, why can't science disprove things in the Bible? Well, actually, this article that we've got, and it's actually really well written from The Sun. So well done, Charlotte Edwards, who is the writer. It's called "Apocalypse Then: A Giant Space Rock Blast 1,000 Times Stronger Than an Atomic Bomb Wiped Out a City 4,000 Years Ago." So you may or may not be aware of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, which is like this, a couple of cities that are a bit sexy.
Yeah, they're a bit naughty or something. Yeah, they had the...
From what I've done on my other research and reading on the Bible bits, yeah, quite sexy. So, but they were destroyed.
Wait, Andrew's having a drink.
And then... they were destroyed, or God threw his wrath and destroyed them. And it's the one where Lot's wife gets turned into that pillar of salt in the process, and the cities are destroyed. So what they've actually found is that they have found evidence of a catastrophic cosmic airburst that they think may actually have caused... or may actually have been the origin of where this story came from, and it has actually destroyed a couple of sort of towns and villages.
Sorry to interrupt you. What's a cosmic airburst?
So, if you remember I think it was actually 2012, so actually I think it was quite a long time ago, which was the Russian meteorite that came through Russia. I don't know if you remember seeing it on videos, and it was in people's cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So an airburst is where it passes through. Now, hold on. I feel like this is a trick. Are you gonna try and quiz me on what this is?
I've not really heard of that terminology before.
So as the rock passes through, or as the meteorite in this case passes through the different layers of Earth's atmosphere,
it
can explode within that, and it'll send out an airburst that way. So I am making an assumption here, but I think it's like compressed air that gets shot out. Bit like the shockwave that's created
from a sonic boom or something.
Yeah, so from the terrible explosion in Beirut, the shockwave that came out of that first, that emanated out before the main event, and shattered sort of windows and destroyed buildings and all that sort of stuff. I think it's all to do with that. Mm. And they think that was so hot that it's actually managed... so they had evidence that it was temperatures of greater than 2,000 degrees Celsius, that they feel that they have found evidence of sort of clay melting, wood being burnt sort of instantly in this sort of city near Jericho in Jerusalem. In Israel, Jordan, Jerusalem, Lebanon, that area. And it's actually quite a massive sort of area within the Dead Sea that this seems to have hit. So I think it's really fascinating that they found evidence of something that happened in the Bible, recorded sort of in the Bible. And obviously, you know, we know that the Bible obviously has changed languages and. You know, inscriptions, etc., have all been changed and obviously being written after the fact. But the fact that a story that is spoken about actually, you know, we're actually now finding evidence for it. So I think that's absolutely fascinating. And I think that's one of the cool things about all of these things, you know, that are in religious texts and different religious texts, that actually we find that there is evidence for these things.
Amy, on you go.
I was going to say, what I'm hearing is the person that made this story just isn't as creative as we would like to think they are, because it turns out it did actually happen.
That's probably true.
He thought he was just a good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I've read of a few other things in the Bible that could be explained by actual like scientific events. One of them, have you heard of Betelgeuse at all?
A star.
It is a star. Well done. Not just from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What? Oh, wow. What a terrible...
Is there a Beetlejuice in that?
No.
Beetlejuice
is a film.
I mean, could we stop saying his name? Like, it's almost Halloween, guys. Like, let's not continue to say
it. Beetlejuice is his own film.
Oh, it's his own film. He's got, like, a stripy pajamas or
have
something.
You never... Yeah. I feel like you've never seen it.
Of course I've never seen it. I've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, you have led a quiet life.
You can do the time warp.
I can do the time warp, though. Everyone learns that in the 90s discos.
That's true.
So, Beetlejuice is a red supergiant, and at some point in the next 100,000 years, which is quite small in cosmological terms, it is going to go supernova.
Ooh.
So it's going to explode, essentially. And what's going to be quite exciting about Beetlejuice exploding is it's pretty close to Earth. So supernovas are going off all the time, all over the place. But generally, there's none near us, so we don't really notice them. If you look at a picture of Andromeda or even the Milky Way, you can see loads of very bright stars. They are supernova that you're seeing. But Beetlejuice is quite close to us, so when it explodes, it'll actually be a star that'll be visible during the day. So during the day, you'll be able to see this like little star that'll be bright enough to be visible during the day. Now, this is theorized to have happened a couple of times before. One of them was in the 1600s, and I think Kepler, one of the famous scientists that observed one of them back then. But it's also supposed to have happened about 3,000 years ago, according to some Chinese texts. There's been a star that's been close to us that's gone supernova and it's been visible
so
during
the
day.
So what's the thing in the Bible?
Well, the thing in the Bible, well, you tell me. Where have you seen a very bright star?
Oh, for... when Jesus was born.
Yeah. So I reckon that there's probably the separate incident that happened that could then be accounted for. So people have observed that a star was visible and it got much brighter and it would have been much brighter even at nighttime. And then just with storytelling over hundreds of years, it's probably got combined into a different story. So
yeah, there's actually... Amy.
No, on you go.
There's a... the other one that we know about is the Moses with the parting of the sea. So that was a really interesting one. I watched that on Disney Plus. There's a National Geographic program all about it. And actually, in that one, they also talk about Sodom and Gomorrah in this sort of same context. If you want to like read up or watch more about it, it's in the same sort of string of things. But the first one is all about...
So Moses is like the seven plagues of Egypt as well, isn't it?
Yes. So they didn't cover the seven or the ten plagues of Egypt. So they didn't cover them. But they did cover the parting of the Red Sea, because actually that's a mistranslation from, I believe, the Greek Bible. So it's mistranslated when it was translated into English. It actually is Reed Sea. And they believe that they've found where it is, and they think, or based on the evidence that they have on what else was happening at that time, the island of Santorini in Greece, you know, right in the middle of Greece. So it was a volcano that they believe imploded and caused a tsunami, which would then pull water away from the rest of the Mediterranean. And then force it back. And that ties in with the story. If you remember, Moses parted the sea, everybody walked through, and then as Pharaoh came, the sea came back and rushed and killed everybody. So, it's really interesting that we have this.
I've read similar things, but with the plagues of Egypt. So one of the plagues is like 40 days of darkness or something. But you can imagine if there's a volcano going off, we can see what's happening in... Tenerife? No, somewhere just now. Where's the volcano going off just now?
Oh, in
La Gomera? No.
It's one of those islands, yeah. Is it?
Yeah. So it's firing stuff up into the sky and sort of blocking the sunlight and everything like that. So you can imagine if you have a really big volcano, then it would almost appear like biblical events.
A lot of the ten plagues have been like suggested as to how it can happen. Like raining frogs, we know frogs are picked up during winds, etc., and picked up and moved. But it's really interesting though that we can confirm that these things did actually happen
From archaeological studies.
From all that sort of stuff. So I just thought that was a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Good story.
Yeah.
Tell me you failed science at school without telling me you failed science at school this week comes from another TikToker who is slowly trying to convince people that he is mating two different animals together to make a brand new species. Something's like cat-dog or like snake-topus or like a whole bunch of different things. Folks, those things can't necessarily have babies, so please stop believing that this man is creating new species. This is specifically to my
you
National
have to share
5
a certain
class.
Amount.
Right? Please stop believing that this man is doing real things. He's not. He's not.
You have to share a certain amount of
so
DNA.
I've not seen this. Is he like doing taxidermy and like.
No, so he's not doing taxidermy. He's basically saying that. So this actually came about because we're doing genetic engineering at the moment with National 5. And he was like, oh, these, kids were talking about this guy who is apparently gene splicing animals together and making sort of new versions of things. But actually, it's not the case. He's literally just talking about two animals that he's mixed together. And it just so happens that they look like, you know, he had like a wolf and a fox, and he mated them together, and it just so happens that the little picture of the baby wolf fox he's got looks kind of a bit wolfy and a little bit foxy. Like, it's not really anything concrete, so it's most definitely not real. Now, that's mostly because of the genetics, that they just can't work that way.
Yeah, you have to share a certain amount of DNA, do you not?
In order to make something proper. Now, obviously, you know, there are things that we have spliced together, but it's not whole things like that. It's very
Ligers,
much like
zonkies.
So yeah, so they're all right, but they don't
but
produce
they're not their
fertile
own
offspring. They're
they
not
they
their own species.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ligers can't reproduce.
Yes. Yeah.
With other ligers, learn that from Tiger King.
Oh, season 2 coming next year.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, there'll be a couple of people missing us.
Yeah,
is he not in prison?
Yeah, he is. I don't really know what they're going to
so
do.
So, if you got like a dinosaur and like spliced it with a cuttlefish, could it make it go invisible?
Stop trying to make Indominus Rex happen, Ross. It's not going to happen, right?
Is that the one that's in the new Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Jurassic World,
yeah. I mean, one, right? That, you know, apart from the fact that, you know, that's not what dinosaur. In fact, do you know what? Spoiler, everybody. But the baddie of the series, Dr. Wu, is that his name?
Don't know. Are very racist.
Could you cut that out by then? Okay, so.
I think you're getting. Is Wu not the guy that's in the
Wait,
Marvel
hold on.
Thing?
Hold on.
I think it is Wu.
It is Wu.
Yeah.
Right, hold on.
That is something you want to go.
Don't know if we're calling him a bad guy. He's just in it for the money. I would call him a capitalist. He's very.
It is Dr. Wu. I was right, Henry Wu.
Doctor Who.
I was right. No, Wu. Spoiler, the baddie of I'm sorry, I'm going to say, you may see he's a capitalist, Rost. I think he is a baddie. He explains it in the movie that's not what dinosaurs look like. In fact, dinosaurs look nothing like what we think they look like. So, you could splice the DNA, but there's no guarantee that you're going to get something. That was only if we actually had a complete genome of a dinosaur, which we definitely do not have.
Out of interest, rumor has it the new Jurassic World, the third one, Dominion, has dinosaurs with feathers in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have a
flashback to the past, and then they show them with feathers, and then they jump back to the ones they have now, and the ones they have now don't have feathers because they splice them with.
Do you know
frogs or whatever it was?
Do you know where I thought you were actually going to go with that? I thought you weren't going to continue on.
Rabbits.
No, I thought you weren't going to continue on with the actual Jurassic Park story or the Jurassic World story. I thought you were actually going to talk about the real science that's happening. So I don't know. Have you guys heard about this? That we're so they've got the complete genome of woolly mammoths, and they're going to genetically engineer them
to an elephant.
And
we've had
them,
this for a while, no?
Yeah, but they're actually at the point where they're ready to do it now, and they're going to try and repopulate. I think it's somewhere in Alaska, or maybe Siberia, one of those places. but they're trying to make an established herd so that they're there all the time.
What's the need for that, though?
Well, there's not any need for it.
Oh. You guys are saying the word splice a lot. It's the first time I've heard it. It's quite a nice word, so.
It means the joining of two things.
I gathered, because it's like, you don't need to use it in a sentence, because you guys have just been constantly splicing. A bit of splice here, a bit of splice there.
Welcome to your English cloak reading.
Yeah, add a little bit of splice.
Something I spliced online.
You need the context around it, and then you can work out what the word means. So, but I have heard of luminous rabbits. So rabbits, are they...
Did you just want to talk about luminous rabbits?
I think you did.
Yeah, or glow-in-the-dark rabbits. No, must be some sort of genetic sequencing. I don't know. I'm out of my depth now. Help.
This biologist to the rescue. So one thing I should probably point out, they are not luminous. They do not glow in the dark, but they do glow under fluorescent lights. So they fluoresce. They don't. They don't luminous.
Oh, I can come in now. I know. Understand.
There is a slight difference there. But actually, what that is a byproduct of the splicing of genes. So what they do is that actually indicates that the genetics that they've put in have actually taken hold of the rest of the DNA. So it's like a marker. So if you search up like places like the Roslin Institute, they normally do it as markers. And it's the green fluorescent protein, GFP, that you find in jellyfish. So it's like a marker. So it's just it indicates that the genetics have actually been passed on.
Yeah, but is that not similar to what your dude on TikTok is trying to do?
No, he is literally just trying to mate two things together that shouldn't ever be together.
And so he's like, not actually made them, he's just taken a picture of a fox and said, look at this offspring I'm
making. Yeah, so let me explain. So the fox one maybe wasn't a really good example, but this one is probably up your alley. He created a Charmander by... taking a salamander, and I can't remember what the other thing was, but it was like something that's like it made. Oh no, that was it. It was a goldfish. So he took the genetics from a goldfish, and because they're red and or golden, and inserted them into a salamander, and then made the salamander red, and he called it a Charmander. Now, you can get red salamanders, so it doesn't really. It's not that's how I know it's not a thing. It's because the thing he had in his hand was a red salamander.
So he's basically just finding weird animals and then saying, look, I've made this animal. Okay, got you.
So don't believe everything you see on TikTok, folks.
Because we're doing our conspiracy special, there's a couple of conspiracies that people have asked us to discuss. So the first one is, I don't know too much about this, anti-vaxxers. What do we think of them?
Well, this week, YouTube have banned anti-vaxxers.
Oh, interesting. Ooh.
It's a big move, because that's one of the ways that a lot of the anti-vax information was spreading. So... for YouTube now, you can have your own opinion. That is absolutely fine. You can talk about yourself, about what you think, but you cannot try and convince people with evidence of anti-vax stuff.
Well, we've kind of proved that specifically the COVID vaccine, that it works, because our son had COVID for 2 weeks and was literally coughing in our mouths. Mm. And that you can't isolate from a 3-year-old who's sick. And we are both fully vaccinated, and neither of us got it, which I think is quite rare for neither of us to get it.
Yeah, but that does show the power of it.
I had 4 PCR tests.
Yeah, I had 3 PCR tests in the time. So.
Well, the thing is, as well, you know, there's all that stuff about, that Bill Gates is trying to control you with his microchips. Now, the fact that we can barely make, phones and watches and regular computers of regular size work quite happily, he says, as the internet in his house is no longer working. So what on earth makes people think that they are able to be controlled by a tiny little microchip? Like, that it's just absolutely mental. But also the other one is the other one that was like literally in the time that we've been away, it's almost as if the world needed us in that moment because everybody went online and read something that they shouldn't have, which was about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend. Did we know about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend?
No, I'm not familiar with this, no.
Do you not? Have you not heard this?
No.
Oh, my
I don't really
word.
Keep up to with Nicki Minaj.
Right. So, Nicki Minaj tweeted that she was dubious of the COVID-19 vaccine, which then kickstarted this massive media thing, so much so that Chris Whitty had to weigh in and talk about it. Chris Whitty, right? So basically, she said that her cousin's... Now, it's never like a direct family member, is it? Her cousin's friend's testicles had swollen up to almost double their size because he got the vaccine.
Good.
Right? Doesn't happen. It's not a thing. Right?
Well, it might happen, but...
Really? How are your two vaccines going?
No, I just mean like your testicles probably can swell up to twice the size.
Yeah, they can, but not because of the vaccine.
It'll be a tumour or something like that.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, yeah, check yourself.
An STD?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's not because of the vaccine, right?
No.
And a lot, there's obviously a lot of conspiracies around, you know, how quickly the vaccine was made, etc. And, you know... I totally understand it, you know. However, by just doing a little bit of research, you'll know that actually the amount of money that is thrown at this to sort of make this thing happen a lot quicker saves you a lot of time. So when I used to work in medical research, a lot of your time is spent trying to get funding. So if you can get that funding really quickly, then all the studies can move over really quickly. So.
One thing I have heard that the vaccine does, and there seems to be a lot of women that have experienced this, like as in tens of thousands of women, is it messes up with their menstrual cycle. So there's been a lot of unwanted pregnancies.
Oh.
Because,
So was this with people that are using like apps to track their...
No, it's people... No, I don't know. But no, they're not having a period. So they missed their period when they've had their vaccine for some reason.
Really?
It hasn't come. But there's been like over 30,000 reports in the UK.
Well, so,
and that's just the UK, and it's like 30,000. There's 140,000 worldwide.
That's one of the other things that actually, not that we forget, but it is quite important. And again, if you're not in that situation or understand how it works, like this is still technically a clinical trial. So it's the final phase of a clinical trial when it goes out to the wider public, etc. So, you know, don't get me wrong, like Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend whose testicles swollen up, it was really good he kind of reported it, but it's highly unlikely that it was the vaccine. But the fact is, though, that if there are symptoms like this or things that you're not too sure of and you have had the vaccine very recently, so within the last couple of days, then you do want to report these things to your doctor, because that's how we make those sheets. So the sheet that comes with medicines, etc., that's where you'll see, like, here are the possible side effects that you're most likely to suffer from, or least likely, or will suffer from, possibly once in a thousand.
With the paracetamol one, they read out the paracetamol list of side effects and then go, would you take this? And then you find out it's just paracetamol.
Yeah. And that's because these side effects are things that potentially have happened, or there've been enough cases to register that's happened. But that's the whole point of it, is that while it was fast in getting out, it doesn't mean it's not gone through any safety checks. And that's that's one of the things. Although weirdly, from a science perspective, and this is a little bit of a science in joke, but people who are against the vaccine are the control group.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is I know it's affected a lot of women, but I had bad side effects from the vaccine. I was quite ill.
I remember
I was saying that. But sometimes when your body's like compromised and fighting something, you don't have a period. If you're not well, or if you're like, I don't know, if there's something else going on with your body, you'd either be late or you'd miss it or whatever. It wouldn't be normal. So I'm wondering if it's just so happened something like that, because your body's, I don't know.
Possibly.
Thinking out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely...
But I think the thing we've got now is there's so many people in the vaccinated group that... Like, if 30,000 people get something in the UK, if that's that might be the normal numbers that get it in the UK, but they'll all be vaccinated. So people like might associate it with vaccination when it's not. Because
yes.
There's just so many people vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. But it seems to be going away for, like... You miss a cycle, basically. Mm. But yeah, apparently it's causing a lot of unwanted pregnancies because you don't know when you're ovulating.
Oh, that's quite interesting.
Yeah. So there you go.
Hmm.
Nice. So, in summary, anti-vaxxers...
anti-vaxxer conspiracies.
Conspiracies.
Are conspiracies.
Are conspiracies, yeah.
It's hard because, like you said, we're going through a clinical trial, but... From all the research, I've listened to a lot of doctors to make the decision.
Exactly.
To have it.
And I mean, the same is.
And they're like, look, it's fine.
Any new
medicine
that comes out. So, any new medicine that comes out would go through exactly the same process.
We just managed to speed it up because money hasn't been a problem.
Exactly.
Because they want us all to be safe.
Yeah.
Cool. And then our last one is are we living in a simulation game? / Are We the Sims? So you know how there's a conspiracy that...
Not a conspiracy. It's probably real.
That we're... Okay. That
what?
We're in an alternative universe. That we're...
So you ever played SimCity when you're younger?
I played it when I was older.
Okay. You ever played SimCity when you're older? So you know there's just hundreds of people going about their lives, going to work and things in your SimCity. And then you bring in Godzilla and crush them all, etc. So the better computing.
It's not SimCity.
Yeah, it is. You start hurricanes. You have like an earthquake.
SimCity,
yeah.
You just build cities, you know.
Yeah, and then destroy them. That's the whole point of it. You have aliens. They can attack as well. But basically, if computing power gets good enough, you can make that simulation of SimCity better and better and better until you can pretty much control the lives of every single person in there separately. Sims is a good example as well. You've got your one sim that you can control, but there's 30, 40 other sims that are going about doing their thing at the same time as you and sometimes interact with you and stuff. And basically, if computing gets powerful enough, you can have 7 billion people or sims being doing their own little thing. And the theory is if you can get to the point where technology can simulate that, then you don't know if you're in the simulation or if you're the first world that could create that simulation that other people would be in. I'm not sure I've explained that terribly well.
You've really confused me.
So, when is The Matrix 4 out?
Christmas.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I like that totally makes sense, but I never actually, you know, when you're playing, like when I'm playing SimCity, never actually think about the people.
Yeah, but they are there. If you can zoom in and watch them, and they all go around and do their thing.
I have another question.
Yep.
Do you think this is like that we're in a simulation?
So what it comes down to is if you've got one world that can make that simulation. Then that world can make thousands of those simulations. Therefore, statistically, you're more likely to be in one of the simulation worlds than in the original world.
Is this not one of Einstein's theories?
I don't think it's Einstein, but it's just...
Are you sure? It's like, I thought he had something about alternative universes.
No, that's different to this. This
is... Well, there's like you, but like a different you. Somewhere else.
Yeah, no, that the sort of parallel universes and all that stuff is a separate thing. Now this is about the power of like computing technology, and yeah, if it gets to the point that you can run a simulation that can like think of like virtual reality that you've got just now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost getting to the point that you don't know whether you're in the virtual reality or not. So if you were a person in the simulation, you'd be seeing that sort of so well that you wouldn't be able to distinguish that from real life. don't know. I feel like I'm not explaining that
one. Oh, okay. Oh.
I kind of get you.
Yeah, I kind of understand that.
But the statistics comes in is if a world can make a model of 7 billion people, basically a Sims of 7 billion people, then they can probably make multiple of them. Therefore, you're more likely to be in one of the models than in the real world.
So wait,
you've got a 1 in 1,000 chance of being in the real world.
So, but we can't do that right now, can we? Well, like, we can't make a simulation.
Well, so we could be, you know, like Age of Empires, you start in the past.
Yeah.
And you work your way up and eventually you got like space tanks and whatever.
That game. Yeah.
Yeah, so we could be in that just now and someone's just playing through it, taking our world and making funny stuff happen, like making Donald Trump president, just to see what happens.
Oh. What if,
and, eh? Yeah. And yeah, so there may be a civilization that's got to that technological point and is just, we're just a playthrough in a game for them.
Oh.
Which is pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, I feel really...
That's not what you want to think about before bed.
It is. It's peaceful.
Is it?
You're just a computer program. You're...
Literally the opposite of peaceful.
You mean nothing. You're just a...
Oh, great. Well, there's an existential crisis that sent me off to sleep. Nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks. Thanks well, for that, Ross.
Your existential crisis doesn't even matter because you're just a computer simulation.
Well, okay. But, you know, if you have an existential crisis that you would like to share with us, then please feel free to email us in.
Yeah, fellow Sims, get in touch.
iReaditOS@gmail.com or contact us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok @iReaditOS. Please just use binary. It's our easiest way to communicate with us. Please do tell others about us. Stream, tweet, Twitter things. Leave us a review, please. It's really helpful and it's really lovely to read. And it does help us move up in the charts as we make our way to most popular podcast of the year. However, folks, we will see you again soon. Happy sleeping.
Bye.
Bye.
You are all in a simulation.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.